We're going to start from Chav Gimel Amad Aleph, the 17th line by the two dots. So the Mishnah told us, Umahin Motzien Achas Ushtayim. And the Mishnah told us that if their Kohanim were racing up the Mizbeach for the Trumas Hadeshen and there was a tie, they would line up, they would stick out either one or two fingers, and then they would count, they would go around basically, and then whichever finger that it landed on, that Kohen would do the Trumas Hadeshen. So the Gemara asks, Hash Tashtayim Motzien Achas Nibaya, if the Kohanim could put out two fingers, and Kal Lachomer they could put out one, why does the Mishnah have to specify they could put out one or two? Amar Rav Chista Lo Kashi Kan Bevari Kan Bechol.
So the Gemara says that it basically depends. If a guy is a normal, healthy, regular person, so then the halacha is that they can only put out one finger. But if the guy is, for whatever reason, unable to put out one finger, let's say, I don't know, it's too hard for his joints and his fingers to only put out one finger, he's allowed to put out two. And the Gemara says that if you have a person who's a yechidin, he's someone who's off to the side, he's not feeling so well, he's sitting by himself, he can put out two fingers, but still that only counts as one finger. So the Gemara says, what do you mean?
Rabbi, yeah. We're not dealing here with someone who has a mope.
No. This is just, we're talking about Kohanim, in other words, going around and deciding which Kohen gets to do the Trumas Hadeshen. And we're not talking about
that.
We're gonna get to that a little bit later. We're not up to that yet. We're gonna get to that later on the daf. So the Gemara asks, "Vein monin lo ela achas." Is that really true that if the kohen sticks out two fingers, it only counts as one? The hasanya in motzien lo shlish velo gudal mivnei haramayim vim hotzi shlish monin lo gudal in monin lo. The Gemara says that you're not supposed to stick out your thumb or your middle finger. So the thumb we already spoke about back in the Mishnah. Now, why can't you stick out those fingers? The Gemara says because it could lead to trickery. Because basically you could set it up in such a way where people think that, let's say, the thumb belongs to the other Kohen, and you could kind of maneuver if you see where the count is going to land. You can kind of pachka around and figure out where it's going to land, and it could end up landing on you. However, the Gemara says if you stuck out your middle finger, then it counts. But if you stuck out the thumb doesn't count bichlal. Not only that, the Gemara says, but if you do stick out your thumb or the middle finger, the Gemara says that the Kohen who's in charge has the right to take a whip and start whipping you, start beating you, because who are you to try and cheat the system? So the Gemara says you're right. My mon lo nami achas. In other words, when the Gemara says that we count and the guy sticks out two fingers, it means that we only count it as one finger. That's all the Gemara meant. The Gemara never meant that if a guy sticks out multiple fingers, we can now count it as if we can count the thumb and the middle finger. In other words, the Gemara says, no, we can only count each coin as if there was only one finger, regardless of how many fingers he's actually sticking out there. Fine. So then the Gemara says, "My pakia, amarav madra, my madra, amarav papa, matrika de tayoy de psikreishi." The Gemara says that this, as we just mentioned before, this pakia was some kind of a whip that this kohen would go around and would beat the kohanim if they were trying to cheat the system. So amarabai meresh hava amina hadisnan ben bevay memuna al hapakia amina psilasa kidisnan mivloi michnasei hakohanim umehem yinein mehen hayu mafkinu vahen hayu madlikin kevan de shaman lo hadisanya velo odel shalokam and Amina my pakia nagda. The Gemara just has a kind of a ha'ara here that Abayi says that initially when he heard the Mishnah in Shkolim which says that Ben Bevai was appointed over the pakia, initially he thought that meant that he was in charge of the wicks in the Beis Hamikdash. Why did he think the word pakia meant wicks? Because there's a famous halacha that the Mishnah talks about that you could take the worn out garments of the big day kahuna and the Mishnah says mehen hayu mafkin, you can make them into wicks. So in that context, the word pakia seems to refer to wicks. So Abayi thought that here too, the Gemara meant something to do with wicks, but obviously in the context of our Gemara, the word pakia refers to some kind of a whip that the Kohen was using to beat the other Kohanim if they weren't listening. Fine. Then we said in the Mishnah, Maisa shayushnei and shavin v'ratzen v'olin b'kevesh. Tan Rabbanan, Maisa v'shnei Kohanim shayushnei and shavin v'ratzen v'olin b'kevesh. Kodam echad mehen l'sochar ba'amu shal chavero. Notal sakin v'saka lo b'libo. Amad Rabbi Tzadok amalo se'ul
So this is kind of a parallel to the story in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, the story we have was much more toned down. The two Kohanim were racing up the ramp. One guy saw the other guy was winning. He shoved him off and broke his leg.
In this story, it's much more extreme. The guy who's losing stabbed the other Kohen, and the other Kohen, as we'll see in a second, is going to end up dying. So the Gemara says that after this incident happened, Rabbi Tzado came and stood on the steps of the Ulam, of the antechamber of the Beis HaMikdash, and he started saying, he was citing the Pasuk in Parsha Shoftim that discusses the case of Eglah Arufa. It says when you find a dead body and you don't know who killed him, so the Zakenim of the city and the judges come out and they bring the Eglah Arufa. So Rabbi Tzadok asked, who's chayiv to bring an Eglah Arufa in this case? Is it the people of the city of Yerushalayim, the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, the Chachamim there, or maybe it's the people in the Azara, namely the Kohanim? So again, we'll see in a second that obviously this is not a literal Eglah Arufa, because you only bring an Eglah Arufa when you don't know who the murderer was. You clearly know who the murderer was here. The Gemara says, go kol am bevichia. So everyone started to cry. But aviv shel tinok umatzu kishu mefarfer. The father of the Kohen who was stabbed comes in and he sees his son convulsing on the floor, about to die. Amar hareyu kaparaschem va'adayin b'ni mefarfer v'lo nitma asakin. So first his father said, there should be a kapara. The fact that my son is dying, is being killed, should be a kapara. And he also said that my son is not dead yet. He's still convulsing on the floor, and therefore the knife that was used to stab him is not yet tameh, because the din is that a kli can only become tameh, obviously, if it touches a mace. The guy wasn't dead yet, so the knife remained tameh. The Gemara says something startling here. Lula mercha shekasha aleim taharas kelim yoser mishvichos damim. The Chayinu Omer v'gam dam nakisha fach menasheh harbe meod ad asher mileas Yerushalayim pelefeh. The Gemara says, you see from the story that the people took the concept of tumah and taharas kelim more seriously than murder. How do we know that? Because the Gemara says it's a pasuk from Sefer Melachim that we actually quoted earlier, which basically says that Yerushalayim during the days of Menashe was filled from end to end with blood. So people were kind of almost used to murder at this point, but taharas and tumas kelim was something that they took much more seriously. The Gemara is going to come back to this point in a second. So the Gemara asks,
Rabbi,
hey, yeah, yeah.
The Eglah Arufa, we've always learned, they find it in the outside in the field. I mean, if you find the dead body in somebody's house, well, you don't know that in an empty house in the middle of a city, is that still something that's higher than Eglah Arufa, or is it the same like here? Even theoretically, if somebody is killed in the base of Mikdash, and we didn't know who that
we'll was. We'll see in a second. The Gemara is going to explain as we go on that this is not obviously a literal Eglah Arufa, because first of all, we know who the murderer was, so that already disqualifies Eglah Arufa. And also, as we'll see in a second, that in Yerushalayim, there is no Eglah Arufa ever brought for Yerushalayim in general. So we'll see. We'll see as we go on. So the Gemara wants to know, hey, Maisa Kadim, which of these two incidences occurred first? Remember, again, in our Mishnah, we had a case where the Kohen shoved the other guy and he broke his leg. And here we have a murder case. So which of these two stories happened first? Ilema de Shvichas Damim, Hashta Shvichas Damim lo Takinu Payasa, Anishpera Raglo Takinu. If you're going to tell me that this second story of the murder was the first story that occurred, so if Chazal did not feel that the murder story was high stakes enough to institute a lottery instead of a race up the ramp, why would the guy breaking his leg then be enough of a justification to institute a lottery? If anything, the lottery should have been instituted after this story. So the Gemara says, oh, you're right. Oh, Dinishpera Raglo Kadim, Vecheva de Sakinu Payasa, Arba Amos Mayavitayu. So the Gemara says, right, must be that really the story in the Mishnah happened first. The guy broke his leg, so maybe breaking his leg is not as high stakes. But once and then once Chazal instituted the now the Gemara asks, well, once Chazal instituted this lottery, so then what's the idea? What's the concept that we mentioned in the mission of racing up the ramp to within four amos? So the Gemara says, you're right. El ol olam d'shvichas damim kadim who may kara sover akray ba'alma who came in the chazi afilu memeila asu l'day sakana takinu rabana payas. So really, the Gemara says, no, really, the incident with the murder happened first, but Chazal figured it was just a one-time thing. It wasn't going to be a usual occurrence. Once they realized that, no, that there was danger involved in racing up the ramp, whether it led to murder, whether it led to breaking your leg, whatever the case was, Chazal then felt it necessary to institute a lottery. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Tzadok ha-ma'alo sa'ulam ba'amar achinu beis Yisrael shimu arei yomer ki matzei chala ba'adama anan al milohavi alo iro alo azar. So again, that was the story that we cited earlier, that Rabbi Tzadok gets up and makes this proclamation. Who's chayev to bring the Eglah Arufa in this case? Is it the Chachamim of Yerushalayim, or is it the Kohanim who are doing avod in the Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara asks the question that Billy was alluding to before: the Yerushalayim basa suye Eglah Arufa, is the city of Yerushalayim subject to Eglah Arufa? The Hasan Yasar Advarim Namru be Yerushalayim v'zo achas mehen ena mevia Eglah Arufa v'od lo nodami hiko k'siv v'hanodami hiko. First of all, the Mishnah tells us that there is no Eglah Arufa offered when there's a victim found in Yerushalayim. And number two, as we already mentioned a few times, we know who the murderer was here. So the Gemara says, why are we talking about Egla Arufa. The Gemara says, you're right. You're right. Again, all of this was metaphorical. Rabbi Tzaddok was never trying to literally say, let's bring an Egla Arufa, because it doesn't meet the standards of Egla Arufa. He was simply trying to get the people to feel the emotional pain of what was happening. Again, as we cited earlier in the Gemara, the father comes, he sees his son convulsing on the floor, but he's not yet dead, and he sees that the knife is still inside of the son's body. So he says, oh, the knife is not yet tamei, right? Because my son's not dead yet. And this teaches us, the Gemara says, that they took the concept of tumah and tahara for kelim more seriously than murders. The Gemara wants to know, Ibayel who shvichas damim who dizal avol taharis kelim kidekayim akayma odil mashvichas damim kidekayim akayma avol taharis kelim hidachamir. It's kind of a strange question here. Gemara wants to know: was it that it was that? In other words, the concept of tumah and tahara for kelim was something which was just like a regular halacha. It wasn't that they took it more seriously than anything else, but murder was something that they were already accustomed to, or perhaps no, perhaps murder was still a serious problem, but they were super machmir. They were super you know into the idea of tumah and tahara as kelim. So the Gemara says tashma mi dekanosiv la talmuda vegam dam laki shafach menashesh ma minash vichus damim hu dezav tahara as kelim kitakayim akayim. The fact that the Gemara earlier cited the pasuk from Sefer Melachim that says that the city of Yerushalayim was filled from end to end with blood is an indication that really murder was something to which they were already accustomed. It was something that they kind of already just kind of, you know, it was there. It was at that point it didn't bother them. In contrast, tumah and taharas kelim was something which was just a regular halacha. So it wasn't that they took it more seriously. It was just that they kind of downplayed the severity of murder. Okay. And the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Ufashat v'lavash v'gadim achirim v'hotziya sadashen, Shomani kiderach yom ha-kipurim sheposhe big dekodesh v'lovesh big dechol, Talmud lomar, Ufashat es b'gada v'lavash b'gadim achirim, Makish b'gadim shalovesh l'v'gadim sheposhe. Ma'u lahalan big dekodesh, Avkan big dekodesh. The Gemara cites a pasuk from Parshas Tzav, where the Torah says that when the Kohen is in the process of doing the Truma Sadeshen, so it says he has to take off his original big dekuna, put on another set of garments. So the Gemara says, and then and then take out the ashes. So the Gemara says that in other words, I might have thought that this halacha parallels what happens on Yom Kippur. Namely, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol at certain parts of the Avodah takes off his regular golden garments, like when he goes into the Kodesh Kadashim, and he puts on the white garments. So the Gemara says that those are big day chol, those are regular begadim that are not big day kahuna. So I might have said that maybe when the Kohen takes his garments off to put on garments for the Trumas Hadeshen, he also puts on regular big day chol. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. The pasuk compares the taking off of his clothes to the putting on of his clothes. Just as the original clothes he was wearing were big day kodesh, were big day kahuna, so too the other garments he was wearing are also considered to be garments of kedusha. So then the obvious question is, why then does the pasuk refer to these garments as other? In other words, the implication is if they're other, it sounds like they're big day chol. Mar says no, pchusin mehen. It simply means that the garments had less kedusha. Not to say that they had no kedusha, but they had less kedusha than the original big day kahuna. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Achirim Vahotzi, Limid al HaKohanim Bali Mumin Shekshirin Lahotzi Hadeshen. This goes back to what Danny was talking about before. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, he derives from the juxtaposition of the words Achirim and Hotzi, that a Kohen who's a Bal Mum, which in this context the Pasuk refers to as Achirim, someone who's other, someone who's not a regular Kohen fit for normal Avoda, he can still participate in what the Gemara says is the Hotza'as Hadeshen, taking the ashes outside of the Machan. Now we'll see in a second, there's going to be a Machlokas whether he can also participate in the Trumas Hadeshen. That's going to be on a focus in a second. But according to this Gemara, it sounds like that at least according to Rebbe Eliezer, even a Kohen with a mum is able to take the ashes out of the machane. Amar Mar Achirim Pchusin Mehen Kidesan Devei Rabbi Yishmael. Desan Devei Rabbi Yishmael. Begadim Shebisha Bahen Kedira LeRabo Lo Yimzog Bahen Kos LeRabo. Again, this corroborates the idea that we were just saying before that when the Gemara says that the Kohen puts on other garments that are of lesser kedusha, the Gemara illustrates this with a mashal that if you have a servant who cooks food for his master, he shouldn't wear those same garments when serving him wine, because the garments you wear when cooking can get greasy, can get dirty, and the garments you wear when you serve your master wine should be clean. So it's the same idea. With the garments that you're wearing when you're dealing with the ashes of the mizbech can get you all dirty, so you shouldn't be wearing those when you're doing other avodah for Hashem. Amar Reish Lakish, kemachlokes behotza, kach machlokes baharama, v'Rabbi Yochanan amar machlokes behotza, v'baharama divrei hakol avodah. The Gemara says we have a machlokes within a machlokes. Again, Earlier, the Gemara cited a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Eliezer, where Rebbe Eliezer held that even a Kohen with a mum is able to do hotza'as hadeshen. He could take the ashes outside of the machane. So according to Reish Lakish, not only can a Kohen Baal mum take the ashes out of the machane, according to Rebbe Eliezer, he can even do the trumas hadeshen proper, take the ashes off the mizbeach itself, whereas Rabbi Yochanan says no. Rabbi Yochanan says that even Rebbe Eliezer agrees that a Kohen with the mum cannot do trumas hadeshen. He can do hotza'as hadeshen, he can take the ashes out of the machane, but he cannot take the ashes out off of the Mizbeach. Why not? Because he says that that process of Trumas Hadeshen is considered an Avoda. And as we know, a Kohen with the Mum is not allowed to do an Avoda. So the Gemara asks, my time with the Reish Lakish. Why does Reish Lakish think that according to Rebbe Eliezer, a Kohen with the Mum is allowed to do Trumas Hadeshen? So Amar Lecha, Isal Kedetach Avodahi, Yesh Lecha Avoda Shekshera B'Shnei Kelim. The Gemara says that if you're going to tell me that Trumas Hadeshen is really an Avoda and is therefore disqualified with a Kohen with the Mum, so how does it make any sense? Because the Torah only mandates that a Kohen wears two of the four begadim when doing Trumas Hadeshen. How do we know that? Because in the beginning of Parshas Tzav, the Torah says, "Umichnesei vayu bashal b'saro." The Torah only specifies two of the four garments. It only mentions the ketones, right, the garment, and the michnasai and the pants. It never mentions the avnate or the mitznefes, the turban and the belt, which are usually the four begadim of a Kohen hegyot. So the fact that the Torah allows you to do Trumas Hadeshen with two kalim, with two begadim, is an indication that it's not a real avodah. Real avodahs require all four begadim of the Kohen. So the question is, how does Rabbi Yochanan respond to that? Rabbi Yochanan, Gali Rachmana Biktonas Umichnasayim, Hu Adin Lemesnefes Vavne. Rabbi Yochanan says, you're right. For whatever reason, the Torah only mentioned those two begadim, but in reality, the Kohen has to wear all four begadim in that scenario. So the Gemara asks, Umaish Nahane Mido Vad Mido Kimidaso, Michnase Vad Lichidisanya, Minayan Shelo Yehidavar Kodim Lemichnasayim, Shene Amar Umichnase Vad Yobashal Bisaro. So the Gemara says, okay, if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan that the Kohen really had to wear all four begadim, why then did the Torah only write two of them? Why dafka these two? So the Gemara says, because we learn other halachos from the wording of the psukim here. So first of all, when the pasuk refers to the ketones, the outer garment, it says midovad, from which we derive mido kimidah. So the garments have to fit the Kohen perfectly. They can't be too big, they can't be too small. And then we derive from the words michnasei vad, that the michnasayim, the pants, have to be the first thing that the Kohen puts on. Then the Gemara says, v'reish lakish, mido kimidah so mida apke rachamana belashon madu. Whereas Reish Lakish would tell you that halacha that we say that the garments have to fit you perfectly is simply derived from the fact that the Torah uses the word mido as opposed to the word kutonas. The Torah never actually writes in the context of Parsha Stab by the Trumas Hadeshen. It never mentions the kutonas. It never mentions the outer garment. The only way that we know that it's referring to that is because mido vad is an allusion to the kutonas, but the fact that the Torah uses the word mido instead of kutonas is an indication that the garments have to fit you perfectly, and the notion that the michnasai, the pants, are the first thing the Kohen has to put on is derived from the words al bisara. So again, Reish Lakish has a different source for these two halachos. So then the Gemara says, Nema kisanai, al bisara ma tamud bomar yomash, lahavi mitznefes fa'avnit laharama divrei Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Dosa omer l'rabos bigdei Kohen gadol biyoma kiburim shekshirin l'Kohen hedjo. The Gemara says, the pasuk already tells us that the garments have to be al bisara on his flesh. What then are we adding from the word yilbash that he has to put on the clothes? Isn't that implicit in the pasuk already? So the Gemara presents a machlokas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he derives from that word yilbash that he also has to wear the additional two garments that are not specified in the pasuk, namely the mitznefes and the avnit, the turban and the belt. He also has to wear that when he's doing the trumas hadeshen. Whereas Rabbi Dosa derives a different halacha from here, namely that garments that a kohen gadol wore for avoda on Yom Kippur are still able to be used by a kohen hedyot for subsequent avodas during the year. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Amar Rebbe Shtei Tshuvos Padavar. Chada da avnito shel kohen gadol lo zehu avnito shel kohen hedyot, va'od begadim shenishtamashta bahem kedusha chamura teshtamish bahem kedusha kala. The Gemara says, first of all, the avnit, the belt that the kohen gadol wore, differed from that of the kohen hedyot. How do we know that? Because if you look in the psukim in Parashas Tetzaveh, the avnit, the belt of the kohen gadol, was unique in that it was actually made of shatnez. It was made of wool and linen, which normally is an Isser Doraisa to wear, but obviously because the Torah mandates the kohen gadol wears it, then obviously that pushes aside the issur of shatnez, but there is no shatnez in the avnit of a kohen hedyot, so the avnit itself is different. And in addition to that, the Gemara says, how could you take garments that were used in the service of Yom Kippur in such a holy situation and use it for a regular avoda of much lesser kedusha? So the Gemara says, you're right. Elamata modomer yilbash the rabbo says ashchakim. What are we deriving from the word yilbash in Parshas Acharemos? It says right that the garments have to be worn. We derive that even garments that are worn out, as long as they're not ripped or torn, those types of garments are still kosher for avoda. Then the Gemara says vihini chamsham. So it says in Parshas Acharimos that after the garments of the big day, after the Kohen Gadol garments were used in the avoda of Yom Kippur, they were left there. They were placed there. So the Gemara says malamid sheteunin geniza. We derive from here that these garments have to be buried. In other words, after the avodah Yom Kippur was done, you had to bury the garments. Rabbi Dosa Omer Reuyin Hein L'Kohen Hedjot. Whereas Rabbi Dosa disagrees, he says no, you could still salvage those garments and use them for a Kohen Hedjot during the year. Umatam Lomar V'hini Chamsham Shelo Yishtamish Ben Yom Kippurim Acher. Whereas Rabbi Dosa derives from the word V'hini Chamsham to leave the garments. It just means you can't use those garments for a different Yom Kippur. But if a Kohen Hedjot wants to use the garments for a regular avodah throughout the year, that would be fine. So the Gemara says, "My lav b'hakam iflagei demar savar avodahi, umar savar lav avodahi." So going back to our earlier discussion where we were talking about the machlokas between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Dosa about whether the Kohen Hedjo needs to wear two or four garments while doing the Trumas Hadeshen, wouldn't that machlokas be reflective of the original machlokas we had between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim and between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan as to whether Trumas Hadeshen is really called an avoda? If you think it's not called an avoda, then there's no reason for the Kohen to wear four begadim. If it is an avoda, then he really should be wearing four begadim. To which the Gemara says, "Lo dechule." Everyone at the end of the day agrees that a Kohen must wear four begadim while doing the Trumas Hadeshen. The only machlokas is, how do we know that? Is that so obvious? Was that just implicit in the pasuk? Of course everyone knows he's wearing four begadim? Or no, maybe we needed this drusha, this pasuk, the word yilbash, to teach me that in this context he has to wear four begadim. But again, at the end of the day, everyone agrees to the same halakha, the Kohen must wear four begadim while doing the Trumas Hadeshen.